All right, guys, we are in Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 16. Well, I cannot believe this many people want to be in the hot room. I'm hot already.
You're good?
All right. John chapter 16, and we are going to pick it up in verses 25 through the end of the chapter. So, we touched a little bit on 25 last time, but basically this is all fair game here. For first round through, we got a big group. So, I'm going to first read through. You guys, just whatever jumps out of you from 25 through 33, I want you guys' input first. So, Levi, you want to start there, verse John 16, 25. We'll just go around until we get through it.
These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father.
In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf.
For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father.
I came forth from the Father, and I have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father.
His disciples said, Rabboni, you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech.
Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God.
Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming, and has already come, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world.
Hey, you VBS kids. Wasn't that very last verse we read? Wasn't that like yesterday's verse in VBS? Sweet. All right. I like it. Bible's good stuff. All right, guys. First time through. What'd you come up with? I need to change some settings on my phone so you guys come up with something here for me. All right, Mr. Taylor.
Verse 27, this is kind of key cornerstone statement here. The thing that has loved me and believed. That was pretty much difficult for a lot of people at that time.
Definitely. That's really foundational of, you know, the core belief of Christianity. And these guys obviously didn't have it all figured out, because Jesus, at this point in time, Jesus is telling them, I can't even speak. You know, you guys can't handle some of the stuff that I want to share with you. You're not going to get it till after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit comes. But at that point in time, they already believed that he had come forth from the Father. And so that is a really, really foundational point. Another... Are you shaking your head, Nikki? Oh, thinking to yourself. You just happened to be sitting next to me in my peripheral, so I heard that. The other part that goes with that, too, is that it's interesting. The Father himself loves you because you love me. We've hit that a little bit in the last couple chapters of John. That's a big deal. A lot of people want to talk about unconditional love that God has. And there's one aspect that's true, but there is another love of God that is conditional. So, Caleb.
Verse 26, it says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. Is that just talking about prayer, or the ability to go to God?
Exactly. And we're not going to hit that one too much tonight, because last one we did, but basically that courtyard of coming into the presence of the King, of the Holy of Holies, let's put it this way, in the Holy of Holies, that place has been made open to us now through the blood of Christ. And so there's a reason that we pray in Jesus' name. It's not like magic words, and it's not, but it's a reminder that we have access because of Jesus and what He's done. So we don't, now Jesus is saying, I'm not going to have to go and make special requests. Like, you have access because of me. It's opened up. So that's a really, really important thing. There's a big shift there. I mean, sometimes, guys, just to think about the privilege of prayer. I think Matthew got drawn here with confidence and thrown a grace. Somebody in. Is that you? Do you guys realize how amazing it is that we can come up to that throne of grace with confidence? Because, man, if you're coming on your own, you aren't dare setting foot in there. So that's a big deal. What else? Yeah. Leah. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some parts of it they get. So, oh yeah, okay, now we get it. And I really am going to follow up on that question, right? Because it's a question I think Jesus asks all of us. You know, now you believe. But I think it's funny because they got some of it, but I think they still didn't get the other part. You know, that part wasn't going to change till after Pentecost. What else we got? Yeah, Raj.
But verse 32, at the end there, he says, when he says everybody's going to scatter home, he says, leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Jesus was like a good role model. Like, he set the stage for him right here, like what he was about to go through and how he was going to get through it, because he believed the power was in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was passed on shortly after. So we have that power within us now. But I just like how he went through everything first and he showed us how to do it.
Amen. Yeah, it's a, I don't know, I think everybody's wired a little different probably, but I do not like to be, I don't like to be alone. And I don't mean I don't like alone time sometimes, but I definitely don't like to be lonely. And I really would much rather, if I'm doing something, Scott and I got to mow the lawn, I would much rather mow the lawn, and not just because it takes half the time, I would much rather be doing that with somebody. Thankfully, I have kids. I have a project. I make. But there are times, guys. I mean, Jesus had these 12. And they all, in one form or another, abandoned him that night. They left him alone. But he said, yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. And that's a great thing to remember. There's the hymn. I'm thankful for the church. Incredibly thankful for the church. It's the first half of this. Like, we don't have to do this whole thing alone. Aren't you glad? But there are times on this road, the old hymn says it well, on the Jericho road, there's room for just two, just Jesus and you. And there are times, every one of us, it is you and God. And so it is a great example, Roger, that Jesus went through first for us. And, you know, he understands the things that we go through. He went through them first. What else? Verse 33. I was hoping someone was going to bring up 33. Amen. Yeah, there's a, I find it interesting. King James, New King James says, be of good cheer. New American Standard says, take courage. But if you're really going to be of good cheer, you have to get courage from Christ. And if you actually have courage, you're going to be able to be cheerful even in the midst of those tribulations. Just, it's definitely a little different feel to that. But, yeah, I love 33. This is one. There's a few verses in the Bible that I kind of hang my hat on when I'm okay. I go to for life support. Let me say, this is probably more like it. This is one of those. Like, sometimes I don't feel like I'm winning, or I'm gonna win, or I'm, hey, take courage, I have overcome the world. Like, this is the guy that's with me. You can do this. So, that's a big one to me. Levi.
I think it's interesting that he says, I have overcome the world, even though he hasn't gone to the cross yet.
Yep. That's a very good point. Throughout these, you're going to see through chapter 17 too, Jesus speaks as having already done it. Because that's powerful. In life, and we're not talking about being, I'm not talking about being delusional. Okay, we're talking about, I actually like the terminology Steve Doty put. I heard him say this one other time. Prophetic perfect, I think is what he said. Or prophetic present, or prophetic perfect. So, I think about present perfect and those things. But if the Scripture speaks of us by faith as having something, that then that has to become a reality, is born out in reality. But you can see Jesus' faith. He's the author and perfecter of faith. He had that. In his mind, it was a done deal. There were no... like, there was no possibility that anything else was going to... then there was going to be any other outcome. And so... definitely something for victory we can learn from Jesus, that mindset. Really good. Wow, you guys did good. Big group. Get some good stuff. That's great. So, you guys remember, we'll just kind of work back through this a little bit. One of the things that Jesus had told them, he said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. What are, some of the things Jesus had to say to them, but they couldn't bear them now. Part of it is these guys, they just hung up on the cross. Like, their brains can't get past the sorrow that he's leaving them. But the other thing that I find, Jesus in the flesh is really easy to understand, and designedly so by God. Like, God came down in the flesh. He came down to our level so that anybody, anywhere, can understand it. Now, obviously, there's levels of understanding of that. But you can go to somebody in the world, and you can have them read. I was talking to Katya recently, and just about her conversion story. And, she started reading she read the Gospel of John before she was a Christian. And it hit her like a ton of bricks. Like, you get people reading the Gospels and who Jesus is, you don't have to be a particularly spiritual person to say, wow, this guy knows me. Like, this guy's legit. So that's pretty easy to understand. But now let's talk about Jesus in glory. Jesus on the throne. Jesus high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Like, the book of Hebrews says, like, we're pressing on to perfection, right? When we're talking about those things. We're laying aside the elementary teachings about the Christ, and we're pressing on. We're moving past milk into meat. Like, that's another push. And one of the things where it really comes through to me how difficult this is when you're preaching on things, how easily or difficult topics lend themselves to physical illustrations. So you start talking about Jesus ascending to glory and Jesus and his role as high priest, and it is really difficult to take physical illustrations to communicate those points. I've found. It's just complicated. It's a spiritual topic. The nature of it is such. And so these guys weren't ready. They weren't ready for that level of communication. And so Christ is going to have to ascend, send back the Spirit, have their eyes be open to that, where they could then begin to teach, or begin to understand, and then leave the message for us. So, Jesus said, a little while, you'll behold me. Again, a little while. A little while, and you will not behold me. Again, a little while, and you will see me. That's where they're like, what in the world are you talking about? And so he used an example, woman in labor, the joy of the birth, to basically tell him what was going to happen with his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. And Jesus said, you know, I've spoken in figurative language, and hour is coming to you when I'll tell you plainly of the Father. That happened, and we talked about that last time. That's the day of Pentecost forward. And I just challenge you guys on something. Aren't you thankful that the Bible doesn't stop at the Gospel of John? Which, by the way, just a freebie here. If Jesus' only intention was to forgive us for our sins, it could have stopped there. Jesus could have been crucified. He could have risen from the dead. And he could have just basically come back right then in judgment. He has a bigger plan. Steve Doty did a great job of explaining that. Like, there's a purpose here. And really, Acts onward deals with that purpose. So, right now, I'm reading through the book of Acts. And I'm doing my little daily prayers through my reading. And because the book of Acts, some days, it doesn't lend itself to easy conversational prayer. Near as easily as the Gospels or the book of Psalms or, you know, what I'm saying is there's a push here on that other side. And so it was after Jesus' ascension that then these guys' eyes were opened by the Spirit and they were going to be able to reveal them to us. And I think for all of us, we get a little bit of a journey on that. Okay, let me ask you guys a question. What was a requirement when they picked a replacement apostle? When they put forth the stipulations, they put forward a couple guys. Yeah. What'd you say? Yeah, the whole time from his immersion by John in the Jordan up until his ascension, right? Because they had to be a witness of those things. So, the apostles were eyewitnesses of all sorts of stuff. John, when he writes 1 John, he basically says, my hands aren't touched this guy. I knew him. He was a good friend. I knew him inside and out. In the flesh. You get to chapter 3, he says, it's not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know when he appears, we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is. But the apostles' eyes had to be opened to another realm. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. You getting hot yet, Mrs. Moranzi? Wow. I'm warm. Acts 5. Look at verses 31 and 32. Con, would you read those for me? Acts 5, 31 and 32, please.
He's one who got exalted to his right hand as Prince and Savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.
So the apostles, after Jesus' ascension, after the day of Pentecost, that's when now they are witnesses of particularly, what does he say here in verse 31? What are they witnesses of?
32.
Right, but the 31 tells you what they're witnesses of. 32 says you're their
exaltation.
Exactly. The exaltation to God's right hand as a prince and a savior. What do you think? If we ask most people, if you ask anybody, even probably within us, you say, hey, Jesus is the Savior. How did he save us? What's going to be your quick spiel? Anybody? How did Jesus save us? Died on the cross for our sins. And that's true, isn't it? But do you guys notice here? He had to be exalted as a savior.
Also, the sacrifice had to be worthy.
Sacrifice had to be worthy.
So he had to live a perfect life.
He had to live a perfect life. Sacrifice had to be made on the cross. But why does it speak of him being exalted as a prince and a savior? Was the work of Christ finished on the cross? What you thinking, Frank?
Blood sprinkles or
yeah. That blood had to be offered in the holy, true Holy of Holies, didn't it? And then that ongoing work of high priest, most people don't even ever, wouldn't ever even think of that. But it's the part that these guys' eyes were going to be opened to, the apostles' eyes were going to be opened to. And so, let's go back to John, chapter 16, really quick. So in verse 25 of John 16, Jesus said, "An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father." What was the purpose of Jesus coming into the world in the first place? What'd you say?
Show us what it looks like.
Show us what looks like.
Perfection.
That's true. It's part of it. Convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He came in the flesh to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Big picture, full Bible plan. Why'd he come?
Communicate God's character.
Tell us who God is. Guys, how'd you like to be in the Old Testament? Trying to figure out who the one true God is. You find out some things in the rules, but God isn't in the rules. Jesus, like, he had to come, right? Let's flip back to John chapter 1 for a second. John 1, 17 and 18. Matthew, did you read those?
Yeah. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father is explained.
Okay. So the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And with that, nobody's seen God any time, but somebody explained him, right? The only begotten God. He's in the bosom of the Father. Jesus came to explain God to us. So again, we are talking, he came down to our level, and aren't you thankful for that? You can see in the flesh, this is what the character of God looks like in a human life on earth. I need that example. I really, really need that example. I need reminded of that. I need to remember, Luke, you can do this, because the same Spirit lives in you. And this is day in, day out. Yes, Mark.
Are they actually communicating to him that he fulfilled, he joined the two back together, he was both a priest and king? Is that what they're kind of referencing here? Or is it just a plain statement of fact that he's a prince and savior?
I think definitely the prince part is a communication of a Messiah, right? The Savior part, I'm not sure that they would have got, the audience would have got the high priest connection there. But, you know, they were fighting against both of those things, right? And, I mean, Jesus is so many things, but I'm thankful he's the King. I'm thankful he's the Christ. I'm also really thankful he's the Savior. I'm thankful he's the high priest. You know, all those things. But, yeah, I need them all. So. Yeah, I think they would have had a hard time making that connection. So, Jesus came in the flesh, showed us this, what this looks like. He was that example. But I already mentioned the story didn't stop there. Somebody besides you two for a minute. Tell me, guys, where does... in what book do we find out, in what book of the Bible do we find out about the high priesthood of Jesus Christ? Book of Hebrews. Good job, Bolton. So, let's actually flip over there to Hebrews. You talk about... I was mentioning the illustrations are difficult on some of this really spiritual stuff. The book of Hebrews talks about super spiritual stuff and uses the illustrations that God laid out a couple thousand years previously to communicate this to us, knowing it was going to be a challenge for our eyes to be opened to it. But look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And I just want you guys, I want you to consider with me, according to these few verses, where do we, Jesus being the revelation of God, where do we get that in its fullness? Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. Kendra, would you read those, please?
Not after he spoke long ago to the fathers, and promised in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty of Christ.
Okay. So, he's the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Where do we get that in its fullness? Jesus on the cross? Where do we get that? He's got to be the same, right? Exact impress of his nature. Where, Caleb? Jesus in glory, Jesus on the throne. Rest of the book of Hebrews is going to open that up to us. He just kind of gives us a little summary in the summary preview in the first chapter. But this is, you know, sometimes to make this relevant, guys, I heard my dad ask this one time, and all sorts of people thought he was off the, you know, rails. But he asked the question, what Jesus were you immersed into? Now, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. So please understand the context of the question. Okay, but the point is, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know, right? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. But the verse that precedes that, the verse right before that, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him, thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The full picture, guys, is not where we're not immersed into Jesus in the flesh. So, this fullness, and sometimes it... Like, the whole New Testament is... I'm trying to think, how do I... I don't know how your guys' minds are on this journey. But... Who are we really? You know, C.S. Lewis, I really like the way he said this. People say, I have a soul. C.S. Lewis said, no, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body, right? You are a soul. So we think about this maybe the next level. We're spiritual beings, especially if we've been born again, we've been recreated in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We've been recreated in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we are spiritual beings. But do you ever have a hard time seeing yourself that way? I'll be with you in a second, Levi. You know, you look in the mirror, you gotta shave, if you have hair, comb it. You know, you gotta do these physical things all the time. You gotta eat, but man, sometimes it's easy to fall into I have a soul or I have a spirit. No. We have a body that we're dragging around with us. We are spiritual beings. But the longest journey, guys, is that journey from the flesh to the spirit. And God's working on us every step along the way, once we're in Christ, to get our eyes open more and more and more, to understand who we are. And that's who we are for eternity. Sometimes these are things in my mind I have to consider, that on that day when Christ comes again, every one of us, who we are inside, the real me, the inner me, the spirit, that's who we are. That's what's shown on that day of judgment for eternity. We're totally exposed for who we are. I think somebody recently, might have been you, Matthew, I'm not sure, but somebody, if the world could see us that way, I think C.S. Lewis said this too, like they'd want to fall down and worship you if they could see who you are in the inside. But, you know, that it's a scary thing, or it's a really great thing, depending on what's going on inside. And so the Lord is working us. I really love the theme of youth camp this year, inside out. Because, man, it's so easy to try to work it from the outside in. Fix the externals, do this. That's never going to work. Not long term. Who we are is inside. And so some of these a little more difficult topics in the Scripture, it's that stretch. God is moving us into that realm of the spiritual. And it is a stretch. The apostles, before Pentecost, they couldn't understand what he was talking about. You don't get it. So then, yes, Levi.
Okay, thanks. I'm trying to think of how soul and spirit are connected and how they're different. But it is inaccurate to say that we each have an individual soul, but we share one spirit.
The Spirit of Christ is in us, so in that way we share one spirit. But we can't quite say it that way. Romans 8 would say his spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And so really the two are becoming one, if you think about it that way, within us. But we're still going to have when we get to glory, it's not going to be like some weird sort of Eastern, you know, nirvana, one with the, like, when Moses and Elijah appeared in glory for the transfiguration, there's still Moses and Elijah.
Oh, well, God
and
has Jesus. Seven spirits.
Oh, that's symbolic from the book of Revelation, right?
Oh, well.
Seven spirits of God.
So each of us are a soul and a spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a quick answer. Okay? So, let's go back to John 16. And in verse 27, Mark, you hit this really well earlier, so I just don't have time to hit this, but it is a very important point. It just says, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. The Jews had a hard time believing God was going to become a man, period, right? And they certainly couldn't handle believing that God was going to be a man who was going to die. Remember the crucifixion? To Jews, it is what? To Gentiles, it's foolishness, to crucifixion. To Jews, it's a stumbling block, right? Like, these guys, they can't think of it. So the fact that the apostles were spiritual enough to recognize that Jesus was the Son of God. They said that a number of times in Jesus' ministry on earth. Nathanael seemed to have got it right away. Was it Nathanael that can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then Jesus has the little conversation. He says, you know, while you were under the fig tree, before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And he's like, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel, right? But there's a few times these guys are like, you know, the storm. They come and wake him up, and Jesus calls the storm. And they're like, truly, you're the Son of God. When Jesus asks him, hey, what do people say about me? Well, some say Elijah, Jeremiah, you know, etc. One of the prophets, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter nails it, right? So this is, like, that's the good confession. It's the core of Christianity. You can't be a Christian without believing this. These guys do believe that, even at this point, which is pretty amazing. I mean, they are spiritual guys. And they did, so they did recognize Jesus was the Son of God. And so then Jesus explains it further, Leah, where they think, okay, I get it. He says, I came forth from the Father. I've come into the world. I'm leaving the world again and going to the Father. Okay, we can get that. Okay, now you're speaking plainly and aren't using a figure of speech. You mean this simple. What they don't know, they don't have a clue what's going on the other side of that cloud yet. So, hey, you know all things. You have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. And I'll give them props for getting there. But Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. Guys, this pushes me a little bit. How easy is it to sit in this room and to read the Gospel of John, to read the Bible, to pray, say, Lord, I believe. Like, I think I'm just looking around the room, most of us that are in here, we are absolutely 100% logically convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. That He is the Christ. These guys were convinced that something was going to happen, but they were going to run away for a little while. Do you now believe? Like, the belief, guys, and this is, there's a logical recognition, and then there is faith that's built. That everything that we, like, when you really believe this, it impacts every single moment of your life. It's so much, it's so deep in there that it overflows in everything, no matter what the circumstances are. So sometimes I hear, like, Jesus asking me that, and I hope you can hear Him asking me, do you now believe? I'll put my words on this. Prove it. Stand with me. You made the good confession? That's great. Now stand with me. Stand with me in the big things. Stand with me in the little things. So, Steve Doty says you don't have to, it's not about trying harder, it's about believing more. It is, because if you believe, you guys understand what I'm talking about? Like, when there is something that you absolutely have owned, it is who you are, and it comes out in everything. That's what Jesus taught. That's the kind of faith that He's building in us. Amen? And so, this is, you know, like I said, these things, I like these questions that Jesus asked them, because I hear Him asking me that question. Now, I like this, the hymn, I'll be a friend to Jesus. You know, there's nobody to, in the halls of Pilate, He stood without a friend, I'll be a friend. Hey, we're on this side, aren't we? We got the Spirit in us. Same Spirit that the apostles received. We didn't get immersed with the Spirit. We got the same indwelling Spirit. We have all this revelation that's given to us. We have opportunity to know and to have this not just burned into our facts center of our brain, but into our spirit. This is who we believe this completely. And when we believe this completely, it overflows in every situation, every second, and every minute, in every... So, you know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes my prayer is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Increase my faith. And that's what the Lord's doing in us. We're partners, we're participants in this. All right, I'm through page one almost. All right. What do we have? 5 minutes left? Do you have a question, Eden, or are you just stretching for VBS? Ah, all right. Oh, good. I covered that a little bit. Yeah, and do you guys notice this? It's kind of funny in the line of what we're talking about. It says, now we know that you, he said in verse 30, now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. But they're going to have some questions for him. Like, when this doesn't go according to their plan, the way they saw it going down, there's a whole lot of questions. And so, you know, sometimes Peter, I find it interesting that Peter gets... I mean, the scriptures intentionally put Peter front and center on this because he was a big talker. And there's a lot of things about Peter I appreciate. He was the one that, yeah, yeah. But the rest of them, actually the scriptures, the rest of the disciples said the same thing. We'll stay with you, Lord. We'll stay with you. And then that moment of truth came. So Jesus asked the question. Do you guys remember, I don't know how your parents were, but me and my dad, the worst discipline of my dad isn't when he'd spank you. It isn't when he'd lecture you. It isn't when it's when he asks you a question with an eyebrow raised, like.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could think of a detail right of a particular right now off the top of my head, but basically, like, so is that really what happened? Sort of thing, right? Just look at you and ask you a question and raise that eyebrow. Like, he knows. So, hey, we believe, Lord. I can see Jesus raising that. Do you now believe? Let's groove it. So, the Lord does ask that same question from each of us. You know, we knew that the hour that was coming. Jesus, an hour's coming has already come for you to be scattered. Jesus knows the pressure that's coming. He knows all the forces in the physical universe are lined up against him. You got the Jewish authorities, the Roman authorities, and Satan behind them all. He knows what's going down. And in that he says, and you guys are all going to leave me. I think it was Roger made the point. But Jesus, he said, but you are with me. The Father is with me, I mean. Now, I want to throw one little curveball at this. The Father was with Jesus through all of his trials, the beatings, but wasn't there one spot? Even because of us, because of our sins, that Jesus was all alone. What's that make you think of? A line that Jesus... Yeah, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the toughest part of this whole ordeal for Jesus. Now, there was a little window there. Some of the creeds will tell you he went to hell. Like, no, he went to Hades. Okay, he didn't go to hell. Scripture is very clear, 1 Peter chapter 2. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. When at the end, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, he commits his spirit to the Father. Right? That's like, he doesn't go to the bad part. But there is that period of time on that cross where he bears our sins and he's separate. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, right? And the reason is so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. wow, what he went through for us. But the main point of this, guys, is this part is, you guys are all leaving me, but the Father's still with me. I think we hit that earlier. Do you guys like the, I know it from Hebrews. I realize it's quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, but the Lord will never, He won't desert you nor really ever forsake you. Isn't it good to know that? Like the Lord stands with you. We're not alone. And I think I've heard the saying, the Lord and me make a majority. I don't know if you make a majority, but you certainly aren't ever going to be outgunned, outmanned. Nothing that you won't be able to handle. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is overtaking you, but such is common to man. There's this line right in the middle of that. And God is faithful. Like, all the rest of that verse is true, but there's a reason. In the middle of that, God is faithful. You're not on this. You're not in this on your own, guys. You never are. If you're, kind of what Larry said, if you stay with the Lord, He is with you. And then we got to get to verse 33. And I love this verse. These things have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. We're not going to have, Jesus said earlier, not the peace as the world gives. That's the peace I give to you. The world's going to have tribulation. Don't expect to have no conflict. There's going to be conflict when you're a Christian. You guys all work with a bunch of heathens. Is there any conflict because of that? I mean, you're just not like them, are you? The world, that's just one example. In the world, you have tribulation. Take courage. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hey, we're running through this finish line. Christ, I like it. Said a lot, but I like it. We've read the back of the book. Jesus wins, and we win. We win because He wins. We don't win because we were so great and all this hard work that we put in. We're going to work hard, but we're going to work hard out of gratitude. We win because He has overcome the world. Amen? So, I guess the final question. For us to be doers, not hearers, here's the question. Do you now believe? Let's take courage. Let's be of good cheer. Let's go win this week. Amen? All right. Hey, thanks, guys, for your participation. Jeff, would you close with a word of prayer, please?
Pray. Dear Lord, thank you for another awesome day in your creation. Thank you for Luke sharing your word and teaching us and encouraging us so that we may be equipped to go out there and accomplish your will. We ask that you be with us this rest of the week and help us and protect our character and accomplish your will. In Jesus' name,
amen.